missionaries. We're missionary kids, and we've been missionaries most of our lives. And we have now been called to the country of Zambia, and that is two countries north of South Africa in Africa. We've been there for about 16, almost 17 years, preaching the Word of God, winning souls for Christ, and doing various ministries, all the way from Campus Crusade, showing the Jesus film, to orphan work that we're doing now. We started our orphanage about 11 years ago, almost 12, where we went deep in the village where we found an old abandoned hotel, and we renovated it and turned it into our orphanage. Our orphanage now has 33 children in it, and we have about 16 staff members from the local village. We also have a farm that we have purchased about 1.5 hours south of us, and it's titled land, and it's about 140 acres of land, which is about 50 hectares, something like that. And it's a beautiful piece of property. It has a river, has a little hill on it, and we're able to grow crops on it and to provide fruits and vegetables for the children, and any surplus we'll sell to the local markets. So that's kind of like what we're doing now. And the children that we bring is not just any age. We bring in the children who are 2 years and below, because those are the children who are the most vulnerable. They do have about, in Zambia, about 1 million children who are orphaned because of the HIV/AIDS pandemic that is there. So that's why we decided, let's get the little babies that won't survive without additional help. So usually we get a phone call from the hospital where the mother has passed through in childbearing, or maybe something happened to the mom, and they'll call us and say, please help the baby. If there is a father, the father says, I can't afford the baby formula and all the care that's needed for that. So we'll come and take the child. And we will raise that child and give it all the love, attention, and all the food it needs up to age of 18. We have our own school system. We have a curriculum called the ACE, Accelerated Christian Education, and other extracurricular activities that we do for the children. And so anyways, we have this little short, I think it's 4-minute video that we would like to show to you. And it wasn't done by me this year. It was done by someone else. And so he put a lot of running text on here, and it was a little bit too fast for some of us older, matured people. So Amy is here to assist us by reading the text as it goes through. And then after we show the film, then we can she'll talk a little bit, and then we can open the floor for any questions that you might have. If it pertains to, like, children and staff, that's Amy's department. My department is for construction, for the farm, more of the brunt work, you know. And we did have a fire this year. Some of you are following our Facebook. And the dining room itself, it's a separate building, had electrical fire from the washing machine, and it burned the whole building down. We lost the dining room, the kitchen, the pantry, and the washroom. Thank goodness nobody was hurt, nobody was killed. Yeah, that was, praise God for that. So what we have to do is rebuild that whole structure. But this time we're going to build the dining room separate, and actually we're expanding. So it's a blessing in disguise. A large dining room, pretty much the size of this, inside of this church. So it's going to be nice and large, because the other one was quite small. And we were always even rotating our dinners and lunches, so now we can have everybody together. And the kitchen and the pantry and the washroom will be next to it with a breezeway separating the two buildings. So if anything happens, again, in those highly dangerous areas, it won't spread to the dining room. We'll just lose that smaller building, and we'll just have like some doors going out into the kitchen area. So anyways, I think that kind of wraps it up. So I think we can start the video, right? So it starts off with the farm. So this is our beautiful farm. And this is the only structure that we have right now on the farm. This is the tarmac. So our farm is right on the tarmac. That's beautiful.
The paved road, the main road.
Yeah. So this is our guard house. We have solar panel stuff. We'll be making a wall here. And that's our entrance into the farm. Beautiful. And that's the orchard where we have oranges, lemons, tangerines, guavas. And there's the river right there. And that's the greenhouse. Okay, here we go.
Terra Nova Farm was started in 2014. The land was purchased and development began right away. Our plants and trees are thriving. In 4 years, we've harvested more than 15 varieties of produce. We're currently growing bananas, peanuts, tomatoes, oranges, lemons, tangerines, coffee, and more. The globe at the entrance is to remind passersby that Terra Nova is a global village that brings hope. Engineering Ministries International has partnered with us to help us develop our vision into a plan. The vision map includes creative homes for the children based on different cultures around the world. Art and technology centers, land for farming and agriculture, and a community school. Our beautiful river and small harbor area will provide hours of fun for our children and tourists. Tomato trees, look at those. The goal of Terra Nova Farm is to allow the children's homes to be 100% self-sustainable. Thanks to our financial backers, EMI, and our team, we're moving forward with Terra Nova, the village of the future. Terra Nova Children's Home. Every life is a story, and every story an adventure. Thanks to your partnership, we're making a journey together. For 11 years, you have helped us redeem the stories of 33 children. They would not have lived or thrived without your support and our presence here. Babies who lose their mothers and often fathers have few places to go to receive support and assistance. Our home fills that gap by providing a home and a loving family. Every child's story is the beginning of a hope-filled journey. Mishek joined our family this year. And after beating intense illness, he's doing much better now. You helped save Mishek. Thanks for joining in on the adventure. This has been another year full of people, projects, and provision. We had new managers, Joel and Kelly, who came in May and continued the work on their home that Tom started last year. The home is a gathering place for volunteers to meet, to hang out, and to have morning prayer. We started construction on our art and science room this year. Kids will do science experiments, arts and crafts, and have room to be creative. On August 27th, our dining room, kitchen, and laundry room caught fire. It compromised the safety of the building, which had to be torn down completely. We were overwhelmed by the scope of the rebuilding project, but something amazing happened. Thanks to generous supporters, we are well on our way to reaching the goal to rebuild the kitchen and dining room. Aside from the large expansions and constructions, we still need people to join our team of child sponsors. We are building a family here, and it takes time, patience, and a lot of love. Everybody belongs in family, and we're thankful you are a part of ours. The end.
All right. Woo!
So this year was a challenging year. Aside from the fire, we also, I think many of you remember that we had the story of the triplets this year as well. We took in the triplets in at the end of January, and one by one, the Lord took each of them home. And that was a tough to have their story be just part with us, and to see that the Lord had a bigger plan for them. It was also tough for the young woman who cared for them, Susan. You saw her cuddling Meshach. She took care of those triplets. We have two women that look after the newborn babies, and Susan and Abigail. And it just so happened that Susan was the one who was with each of the triplets on the days that they passed. And she had poured so much love into them. And even on the day that Lazarus, the final triplet, passed away, Susan was caring for him so well, and he knew who loved him. He was looking for her face. When the doctors are poking him and prodding him with needles, he was looking for her face to receive comfort. And that was a joy to see that bonding. And It was hard, but we believe that the Lord took them home for a reason. On the day that Lazarus passed, I discovered that his head had actually fused closed, and he was only 4 months old. So that shouldn't actually, the soft spot on his head shouldn't have closed until he was 12 to 18 months old. So the fact that it closed soon was a pretty good indication that there was possibly something neurologically wrong. So we believe that God spared those three babies from a life of pain by taking them home to him. But it didn't make it easier for us who had loved them. In fact, when Meshach came to stay with us and we asked Susan to take again the responsibility of being the newborn nanny, she said, I can't do it. It's too hard. So I met with her and I said, look, you need to understand that these are Jesus's babies. And when we take care of them, it might be for a short time, it might be for a long time, but at the end of the day, we are just caregivers for these babies. So she accepted the responsibility and took on his care, and she's done such a great job with him. And then shortly after that, we were having a staff meeting, which we have weekly. It's for training, for announcements, for policy updates, you know, the regular staff meeting stuff. And she raised her hand. She had something she wanted to say. And she said, Madam, I want to say thank you for teaching me how to love. Because before I started working here, I only knew how to love my mother and my sister. But now I know that I can love everybody. And that's a God thing. That we've been waiting 10 years to hear that. So that's our, you know, that's a big part of our ministry too, is working with these young women and helping them to see God's love in action. Because many people in Africa, they don't understand why we take in orphan babies. They don't belong to us. They're cast-offs in society. And so the fact that we do, that we accept them into our family, is us living out God's plan for salvation, that he has adopted us into his family. They're able to see God's love lived out. So beyond the care of the children, and I mean, you can see on that poster, those faces, all those children who are growing up to know Jesus, to follow him, we have every one of those children knows the Bible. In fact, funny story, we'll have volunteers come over, volunteer teams, and especially the ones that maybe travel around the world, and they do You know, like they'll go to India and Thailand and, you know, different places. And then they come to our place and they're like so excited, like 25, 30 children that they can just, you know, teach about Jesus. And they're like, kids, we have such an exciting story for you. We're going to tell you the story of Zacchaeus. And they're like, yeah, he climbed a tree, Jesus saw Jesus, was forgiven. Like, oh, okay, we'll try another one. But they know all the stories, and so we have to work hard to dig deep and actually teach them real life lessons. In fact, we had one of our little boys, he's 12, and he was having some pretty serious behavioral issues, which a lot of our children do. They're, you know, despite the fact that they have been taken into a loving home, that doesn't erase the fact that they didn't have a solid mom and dad from the beginning. So he's been having some struggles, and so Tom had been giving him assignments of sitting down and reading the Bible every day, just digging into God's Word, and he would assign him certain scriptures, and he was supposed to just sit there and read it. He had to give up some of his other fun activities to really dig into God's Word. And he came to Tom, and he said, Daddy, I was reading the story of Achan. And Achan was a young man in the Bible who decided to disobey God's plan. When everyone went off to war, they were not supposed to steal anything from the battlefield. But he did, and he hid it under his tent. And his whole family was destroyed because of that. In fact, all of Israel even lost their next battle because of his sin. And he said, Daddy, I have some stuff I need to tell you about. So all on his own, he confessed some stuff that he had done that he hadn't told anybody yet. Mm-hmm. So this was God's word speaking to him directly and getting him motivated to do what he was supposed to do. It's amazing. It's just amazing to see. So this is, this is what we're doing. This is the ministry. It's not just keeping a baby alive or holding that baby's hand until God takes them home. It's raising up these young people to be men and women of God. It's helping to reach out into the community and build stronger faith in the people that work with us. So we are so thankful for your church's partnership. And if you think there's something that you individually can do, we would love to talk to you about how you can become a part of the children's families, how you can watch a child grow up and invest in their lives personally by becoming a sponsor and being able to help financially. But then you can follow them and see how they're doing and watch them grow up. So we would love to share with you about that. Any questions? Anywhere? Where would you like? What would you like us to share with you?
I know that we've kind of been with y'all from almost the beginning, and we've seen your babies and all. Are there any stories that you want to pass on about the ones that have grown up?
So our oldest child is only 14. So we do not have any that have graduated yet, because we've only been open 11 years. And the only reason we have a 14-year-old and not maybe, say, an 11 or 13-year-old is because his grandmother snuck him in. She pretended that he was 2 because he was so malnourished. He was tiny. And she was like, yeah, he's 2. And I was so naive at the beginning. I was like, okay, you say so, he is. Now I see his intake picture, and I'm like, that wouldn't squeeze past me this time, because right. I know a lot more. I know how to count teeth. When we get a toddler in, I now, open your mouth. nope, you're not 2. So, but anyway, so our oldest is only 14. We have yet to see what is going to happen down the road. And some of our children have learning disabilities, so he's not going to be ready for graduation for a little while. Hopefully he'll catch up, but he's... we're not yet even in high school grades yet.
But hopefully, we're going to also teach kids the vocational training. So we're going to teach them a good life skill that they can have. And many of them will probably become our staff members, which is a goal. They can give back. So we actually have identified quite a few who said, we want to give back. We want to help raise these babies, which is really good because they know our standard. They've been raised in our standard in a Christian home. And they don't come with baggage, from the village with all that voodoo and all that other stuff, So we're really encouraged about that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes?
When this fire happened, we were among some of the people that were monitoring the Facebook pages. I guess it was on Facebook that you saw.
Right.
And so we knew right when it happened.
Right.
And we were seeing some of the video and stuff. It was very traumatic.
Yes.
Very traumatic at the time, at least for us. We sensed for you guys too.
Yeah.
And now, in retrospect, you guys are very, you know, it's a blessing. It's an opportunity for expansion.
Right.
But I don't know if everybody here really followed it as closely as we did, and so I was hoping you could give us a sense for really what was happening in y'all's minds at the time.
Wow.
Versus
It was surreal. That's the only word I can use. When you have this fire and there's absolutely nothing you can do to stop it, it was just unbelievable. And a crazy thing is we had just had a conversation with a gentleman who had visited our place, and he's a home builder. So he was really concerned about, like, our layouts of our buildings, and he was really concerned about Tom and I because we sleep in what essentially is like a walk-in closet at the back of you walk through an office to get to this, like, room that's kind of about the size of a walk-in closet where we sleep. And then the office opens into a living room. So he's like, if there's ever a fire, you're kind of trapped. And so he made sure to get us a smoke detector to put in our room so that we would be alerted, or that if there was a fire, so we wouldn't end up trapped in this back room, because we don't even have windows in our bedroom, so we couldn't get out. But we just kind of laughed about it. We're like, these are all cement buildings. Like, there's no wood to burn. So, like, how would it burn? And, you know, like, there's no fire. So just 2 days before the fire, we had a conversation with him on Skype. He said, have you installed that smoke detector in your bedroom? We're like, yeah, but it's kind of silly because there's no fires. And then 2 days later, there's this fire. I mean, what happened was the washing machine caught on fire. The plugs are really low quality, and so we had already had trouble with it melting, which happens with almost everything you own. I mean, we change sockets and plugs for things on a weekly basis. Just the quality is just so terrible. So we had already replaced this plug before, but I guess at this point it just had gotten too hot. So then the clothes, we had all the kids' karate uniforms piled up ready to be washed, and I had thrown in the first load. So as soon as that plug caught on fire, then it was the clothes, and then it was the construction material, and it just went up way faster than we could have imagined.
Yeah, well, by the time the kids ran out of the dining room, because it was 7 o'clock at night, and they were just about to watch their little video for the night, and they came running in and said, there's a fire, and I ran in there. By the time I got there, you know, the flames were already 10 feet tall, and all the whole room was so hot already. And
we had a fire extinguisher, but it was ineffective.
You think those fire extinguishers, oh yeah, they can put out anything. Well, it was a big one, you know, and why is it just like this stuff came out. But when it's that tall, no, you can't get close enough to do it because the heat was just so much.
And within minutes, we couldn't even enter into the dining room building. If you think about it, the building was, you know, a rectangle. The fire was back here, and things melted in the kitchen over here, and they were separated by a cement wall, and the fire never even got out of this corner. But that's how intense the smoke was, that it ended up, and then because of the heat, it went through all the mortar of the bricks and things. So yes, it's hard to say, you know, you say we're all like, it's a blessing, blah, blah, blah. We have to be that way, you know, in order to survive. We're not always like, we're not as happy-go-lucky as we may come across. however, when we did tear down the building, we found there were some structural problems. Remember, this was a building that we took over, so we weren't there when it was built. Some of the exterior load-bearing walls were only 4 inches, so they were not strong enough. The foundation, we thought, well, at least we can save the foundation. We have to knock down the walls, but surely we can save the foundation. We found out it was a floating foundation. They hadn't even dug down and done all of the structure. So in some ways, it was a blessing in disguise. I really wish it hadn't happened that way. I wish the Lord could have just sent us a memo, you know, like, oh, by the way, your building's not strong enough. You should change that. I'll have a conversation about that when I get to heaven. I'm like, yeah, I have a couple things. So, yes, it is a blessing in disguise, but it was really painful. And in fact, one of the things, there is a somebody put me in touch with a counselor who goes to trauma situations. She's actually was here in Harvey counseling families who lost everything at Harvey, and now she's flown out to California to be with people who have lost everything in the fires there. And I would like to chat with her about what do I need to do for my children? Because we saw a lot of, it was very interesting, we saw a lot of behavioral issues for the boys, and we saw a lot of really good behavior on the side of the girls. And I was thinking, I don't think either one of them is coming from a healthy place. So I do want to be able to do some work with the kids. This year has been tough for them, as hard as it's been for us. We have a little bit more resilience built in because we have X amount more years of seeing how God works. But these are little kids. They lost their siblings. You know, those babies were their siblings. They lost three of them this year, and then we lost this fire, and it was very, very dramatic. Everybody, we had to evacuate the lower bedrooms because the smoke was going downhill, and all the kids got moved up into the two top bedrooms, so they were above the fire, and that's where they all had to sleep, like doubled and tripled up in beds and things. So there's some work that we still need to do to work with their hearts.
I was impressed that the village people came out to help.
Right, and that was good. We had like 300 villagers just show up.
300 villagers, 10 helping, but I'm thankful for those 10 that were helping. That was good.
Right.
About five were looting. Not so grateful for them, but yes.
Yeah, there were some guys that were just going into the fire and pulling out fridges. And I'm like, no, you're not going to go in there. He goes, no, since you were going to allow it to burn, this is now mine. I said, but you don't loot in front of me. That's kind of...
We ended up telling him, okay, because he kept coming back, like, that's my fridge. I pulled that out of the fire. That's now my fridge. And we said, we'll make you a deal. You can go to the police station and ask them if you can have it. And if they say yes, then that's fine.
Yeah.
They never came back.
But also, you know, we're at a point in our ministry where things are growing so much. You saw our beautiful farm and everything. So we really believe that we're on the cusp of our organization just expanding and blossoming. And we're getting some really good counseling, a lot more volunteers that want to come. The way that we're doing things is just like there's a big change going on. So it's like even on a spiritual level, we're kind of getting attacked also. So, and it could be a time where we can get really discouraged and down and just kind of throw the towel in and say, oh, well, this is the end, you know. But you just got to keep on going and knowing, well, God's powerful, more powerful than all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, we sort of talked about, you know, when you go to the gym and you work out, you're actually tearing your muscles in order for them to grow. And that's painful. You know, so when we are growing and as our ministry is growing, there are going to be some growing pains. And we have growing pains where God is working in us. And, you know, we saw it before we went to Africa. We had 3 years of pretty tough faith building experiences to prepare us for Africa. Well, now we feel like our ministry is about to take off and grow so much more. It's just been Tom and I for a long time. But now in order for us to take on this farm project and grow to where we're going to have eventually the 100 children being cared for, we can't just stay Tom and Amy anymore. It needs to grow into a bigger ministry,
right.
And that's going to be growing. And so some of that growth pains is God, and some of it is Satan saying, I don't like this. This is dangerous. So there are some attacks, and we know from Job that that's allowed, and it's a growing process in that area as well, but it doesn't make it easy.
Yeah,
it's still tough.
Because we're in a village, you know, this is a village that is extremely dark. You know, we have 23,000 people in this village. And we're in the part of the country where voodoo is just rampant. It's everywhere. It's even in the village everywhere. Even some of our staff members, they're privy to it. So it's kind of like, that's why this is the dark continent of Africa. You know, that was Satan's ground. That was where he controlled everybody through fear. But we're there, and we're spreading the message of Jesus, you know, and God, and he's mad. He is so, so mad, and we're changing the lives of people. So, yeah, of course we're going to be attacked, you know. But it's like we're on the hill. We're actually really physically on a hill above the village, and we're like a light shining. And they can't deny it. You know? And I actually have a cross with lights that I show every night out there.
So,
yeah.
Any other questions?
How can we be praying for you guys specifically in 2019?
We definitely need to continue to pray for team members to join us. Volunteers are wonderful. We love them.
Yes.
But volunteers come and go, so we need people that are going to commit to time and commit to the challenges of life in Africa. It's not an easy thing to live in Africa. I saw a mug, picture of a mug on Instagram. I don't know if any of you follow me on Instagram, at Amy in Africa. And it said, Africa is not for sissies. And that's kind of true. So we need people who are going to take up that challenge and join us so that we can grow and we can take on even more responsibilities. And we need to pray for continued support. We have to get this dining room building finished and funded. We need to finish the third classroom so that our kids can really have that space to learn and grow. We are looking for a teacher specifically. We have a donor that is willing to put up even a salary for a teacher. But we just need to find a teacher to come in, because one of the things, like I said, when our kids are struggling a little bit in some areas, and part of that is because we've had so many volunteer teachers where, you know, it's 3 to 6 months of this teaching style and then, you know, 3 months of this teaching style and 9 months of that teaching style. So we need to get some more continuity for the kids' education. And what else can we pray for? Good health. Yeah. And then also for we are restructuring our organization so that we can take on the more challenges, and that, so pray that we have wisdom in how we build that.
Right. Someone could help with the farm oversight.
Yeah, we need to pray for like an agriculturalist, because I'm learning as I go. You know, it's like I go on YouTube and I'm like, okay, how to grow a tomato. You know, it's like,
how many of you follow him on Facebook? Raise your hand if you follow him on Facebook. So you know, and you know each of his videos. If you don't follow him yet, you should. His videos are public. Look for Thomas Morrow and watch for the beard, so you know it's him. He starts every video with "Here we are," and so I told him that's the title of his going to be the title of his memoir. Here we are, but the subtitle will be "With God and Google, you can do anything."
Right. So, but we do need someone that knows how to farm and all that stuff, and I know a little bit, and I'm actually learning quite a bit as the more and more I research. But we have a lot of acreage, and we need to figure out how to make the farm self-sustaining. And right now it's not, because a lot of the vegetables are really cheap, and the amount you put into it, like with the fertilizers and the labor and all that stuff, but we're still running a negative on it. So we need.
And part of that is training. So we gave our farmers there. They're good at what they do is they plant their maize. So they plant once a year, they plant all their maize, and then they hoe it and they till it and they keep an eye on it, and then they harvest it. That's how they farm. And so we gave them cabbages, and we said we use X amount of cabbages per week. Actually, it's 20. We use 20 heads of cabbage per week for our personal consumption for the orphanage. And then we figured we could probably sell another 20. So plant 40 this week, plant 40 next week, plant 40 next week, and so that we'll have a rolling harvest of cabbages. We came back the next week, and they were so proud of themselves. We planted 1,000 cabbages. Oh, okay. So we could use about 100 of those before they went to seed. Yeah. This is the learning curve, and we have to have somebody there all the time. So they're like, wait, you stop there. And I don't plant anymore. And you know.
Right. So yeah, we need agriculturalists. So yeah. And if you feel like you would like to come and volunteer, please make sure that you are called. It's not like this. I mean, mission trips are fine. You go there, you get inspired, and you go for a week and all that stuff. But what we are looking for is people who are truly called by God to, because it's not easy, you know. And if you're not ready, you go there, it's going to be a lot of finances, a lot of problems and issues, and you're going to come back really discouraged. So you really need to crack open that Bible and just really pray and you know, have that good relationship with Jesus, and you know, and He's going to tell you, you know, and talk with Him, and to say, you know, is Zambia the place that I need to go? Because this is like, you know, you're joining God's army when you go to Africa. You're not, you know, just a okay, I'm going down to the store. No, it's everything is 100 times more difficult. You have trials and tribulations when you're on the field. So it's like physically and spiritually. So so if you feel like you're called, okay, triple check it, you know, and double check it. Talk to your pastor. Talk to lots of people, you know, pray and see what's in his word about it. You know, so.
Any other questions, or would you guys like to hear an update on our personal children? Some of you know our kids, right? And
oh, yeah.
You've seen them grow up. And so all three of our daughters are now married. And yeah, hooray! no grandchildren yet, sad. I'm happy for them. They're like getting their lives straight and getting their houses and their careers, but gosh, I would love a baby. I know. I have 33 back at the orphanage, but it's not the same. Not the same. Jennifer and Jessica are oldest, the twins. Jennifer is working as a teacher. She's a fifth grade science teacher, and she loves it. And she has a wonderful husband who is going to be developing video games, which is such a growing industry now. And so he's in school for that. And Jessica is married to an airplane mechanic. And Jessica works at, she's part-time CNA, right? Yeah, CNA. And part-time at Hobby Lobby. So if you're ever at the Hobby Lobby on Webster, you can say hello to her. She looks just like me, except tinier, way tinier. And TJ, our oldest son, is in Taiwan. So he's teaching English and studying Chinese, and he has a girlfriend from Paraguay. So no matter where our kids go, they're just going to like be international. It's like double international, like not just be in another country and date someone from a different continent. So then Timothy, our second son, and very much middle child, even though I know TJ is too, but Timmy is the middle child. If anybody who have children know that, know what I'm talking about. He is going for his master's at UHCL in English. He graduates, well, he walks with his, for his bachelor degree on December 16th. We're very proud of him. And he is, has a girlfriend as well. So yeah, he's getting his master's. He's already working as a TA at UHCL and is still a tutor at San Jac Central. Jasmine is married to a young man who works over in La Porte, and she is getting her business degree from University of Houston. And Troy, our baby, is 21 now. Can you believe it? Our little tiny guy that went to Zambia when he was 4 is 21. And he is doing video editing with his uncle and is great at it. And then he's also trying to get his degree in something. He just wants to go to college at this point, and he'll see. But I think really he is gifted for the artistic side, video editing and things. So that's our kids. There's a lot of them.
All right, I think that's it. If we're done with the questions. Right.
Thank you so much, guys. It's always a real blessing to get to visit with you.
We've been very impressed with this family for a number of years, and we appreciate. My heart is amazed at the fact that Tom and Amy have all these children that they had with them for so many years there, and then one by one, they would come back to the United States. And I don't know about you, but saying goodbye to your children like they have done, I don't know how they just stand it, but they did. And the Lord has blessed them and blessed us in knowing them, and we appreciate, of course, very much this ministry. And we wanted you folks to get even a little better taste, and with them both being here today, I tell you what, this has been a tremendous blessing to all of us. We appreciate. Tom, tell us who that girl is behind you.
Oh, yeah. So, this is my mom.
That's right.
My mom.
Your mom.
Yeah, she stays over in La Porte area.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what she does so that these folks can...
She can say what she can say.
What do you do there?
What do you do?
I work at the local pregnancy
Pregnancy Center. Most of you know about the Pregnancy Center. It's located now on Garth Road. It used to be over here on North Main.
Right.
And so, and we have the cookie jar resale shop there.
Are any of you familiar with the cookie jar?
At the Pregnancy Center, I do all their media. I'm the media director, so that means I do all their websites, Facebook, newsletters, all that kind of thing. And at the cookie jar, if you walk in there, you probably see me in there because it's so much fun to sort all the stuff that people donate.
Right.
You
know? It's an amazing place. If you haven't been
to... I've been to quite a few of you.
Yeah. If you haven't been to the cookie jar, you need to go. It's an amazing place. We enjoy it. Okay. Tom and Amy, thank you so very much. There's no way that we can tell you how appreciative we are of you too and your family, your ministry. We just want to, our people to pray earnestly for your work. We realize that you have responsibility of guiding lives, and not only these lives now, but the future. It's amazing to me what's going to happen to this 14-year-old and the others as they move along. Edie is already back in the kitchen. Anyone else back in the kitchen that needs to be there? Our folks have brought sandwiches, I think, and I'm not sure what all that we're going to enjoy. The fellowship and the food. Do we have any other questions or comments before we have our prayer? Okay, we want to be thankful to the Lord for Tom and Amy. Pray for their ministry. We want to thank you for being here today to have this time of fellowship with them. And we're going to have a moment of prayer, thanking the Lord for the food and for Tom and Amy, and pray for them. Mike, if you'll lead us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for raising up people throughout this world who will carry on your will and your plan. We know that you use all of the people who are ready and want to listen to you and want to be guided by you, that you strengthen them to do fantastic, great things that will glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask for your special blessing and protection on the Morrow family, on the children as they start their lives and continue their lives and push forward here in the United States, but also on Tom and Amy as they continue to work on and push on in Africa. Father, we ask that as we've heard earlier that you continue to move those who would spend serious time and serious commitment to help in that mission in Zambia, and that you lighten their burden as much as is possible in such a difficult place, that gives them some refreshment, some encouragement as they go through all the difficulties. We know that this is for great blessing for the people who are doing the work, but it's for great glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Father, also we ask that you would bless the food that we're about to partake of in, to the nourishment of our bodies. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Go to the kitchen, please. This is so great, Tom and Amy and Paula go first, if you will, please.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessing Jesus, thou hast bought us thy.